So, if we focus on gun-free South Africa expressing that the recent crime stats regarding unlawful firearms and ammunition is continuing to become alarming. Stats from the third quarter of the financial year indicate that 57% of the homicides in the Western Cape were carried out with firearms. We still have an awful amount of illegal guns on the streets. An awful amount, seriously. So, provincial authorities recorded 926 incidents of unlawful firearm and ammunition possession, an increase from 758 during the comparable time frame last year. So, to dissect this issue with us, crime expert online, Mr. Willem Els. Willem, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
That should certainly be alarming, Willem. 926 incidents. Compared to last year, this time 758, it's almost 200, the increase.
Indeed, yeah. And you see, the challenge that we have there is that it seems it is it occurs every time. So the upward curve is constant. And that is alarming because it seems that whatever efforts there are, whatever initiatives there are at the moment, it is not curbing what we want to curb in that area.
So why are we not winning then? Willem, is this as a result, or let me not point to any specific indication or factor. I'm sure it's a number of factors. Let's unpack some of them. What are contributing towards this alarming increase?
Yeah, you see, if you look at what is going on in the Western Cape, we know that the your affected areas, once again, it was Delft, Mitchells Plain, Philippi, Bishop Lavis, Nyanga, and then also Umfolini area. And those traditionally are your areas that are infested with gangs and where these gangs are thriving, but also where the most gang-related or gun-related incidents happen. And that is a challenge. What are the drivers there? What is government doing? What is the police doing? What is not only social service, every government department, what are they doing? Do they have a coercive plan that is working together in bettering the environment and attacking it? We don't see that. We see that the police is coming with reactive responses. They want to the government want to deploy the military. They want more visibility and so on and so on. But at the end of the day, you know, it's only like a band-aid plaster on the wound, and we are not addressing the root causes of why we have the problem that we're having.
So if we look at the current stats and the alarming indication shows us, Willem, that compared to last year, we practically almost 200 up. There were a number of police stations and precincts over the years that were identified for being compromised, where original firearms were confiscated from the streets, and it then led to some corrupt elements within SAPS who had then sold this off to criminal elements. Have we managed to plug those important gaps completely or not?
Just as what you mentioned now is an indication to us that we have not managed to do that. And that is one of your challenges. You know, whenever the police is operating in an area, there are two things that has to happen. And the one is, if you look back at the Robert Peel principle of policing, it is in the community, from the community. That means that the community and the police are one. They are working together and they are curbing crime, they are fighting crime, they are combating it together, etc., etc. And that is what we don't see. And the reason, or one of the main reasons why we do not see that, is the deficit in trust between the community and the police. And one of the main reasons of the distrust is, of course, your corrupt elements within the police. And of course, we know that all the police officers are not corrupt, they are very good ones. But unfortunately, those are corrupting the area, those who are really participating in all of these crimes, they are spoiling the broth and they are actually jeopardizing the good relationship between the community and the police, and also the contributing to the trust deficit. The second one that we have to look at there is the result. If there are consequences for crime, and the police is arresting the people, and then what they are doing, they are investigating, go to court, and see those people actually are being sentenced to very stiff sentencing, then it brings a deterrence, and that will restore the trust of the public in the police if they see that the police is competent in what they are doing, when they are doing what they're supposed to be doing.
So, Willem, in conclusion, It's one of the reasons why we've got the Madlanga Commission. And it's obviously been dragging on for quite a while now. And this has come up on numerous occasions when we've had these discussions with analysts. The lack of trust that essentially exists between communities, civilians in South Africa, law enforcement, and SAPS. I'm sure once the Madlanga Commission is concluded and a final decision is eventually made, that essentially is not going to contribute towards an improvement in as far as this lack of trust is concerned. A lot more would have to be done.
Of course, yeah. You know, and I'm the type of person that like to see that the glasses are full. So when we look at your previous experiences with commissions, a lot of things were unearthed. If you look at the Zondo Commission, what has been unearthed there, and then the implementation or the lack of implementation of the recommendations. So what we would like to believe is that government has learned their lesson, and then when it comes to the recommendations of the Madlanga Commission, that they will start to implement it and that they will start to clean up from top to bottom, but not only the police, also the judiciary and all other state departments that are being affected. That will then restore the trust of the public in the police and law enforcement.
Yeah, that remains a major worry, major concern for us. Mr. Willem Els, crime expert, thanks so much for your time on PM Drive.